Good morning, Crossville Church.
Good morning.
Thank you all for being here this morning. Thank you for everybody joining us on Facebook. We appreciate you for joining to worship with us as well. So I have got quite a few announcements this morning. And since the pastor is away, he didn't provide me with my little cheat sheet. So anything I say, I can't be held responsible for because I'm winging it. So a lot of things going on this week and in the next few weeks. So please be mindful of that. So church board, I think many of you all have already picked up your board packets from Wayne. He has them fanned out on the wall back there. But if you have not had a chance to do that church board, we will be having a meeting tomorrow night. So pick those up from Wayne on your way out the door. So that's tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. in the conference room. Ladies, I've been mentioning for several weeks about the ladies' retreat that Linda Kennedy has put together. Your money is due today if you have signed up to go. I think some of you all have already paid her. That's $25, so please catch up with her after church. If you don't, she'll probably hunt you down. Mentioned for several weeks that we have a basket in the foyer for cards and gift cards to welcome Seth and Emily's baby boy who is due this month. So thank you for everybody who has thrown something out there. If you haven't had a chance, please continue to do so. Next Saturday, we are having the Craft Festival. We've been announcing this for a number of months. Jane and her crew have put in a ton of work on this, but this is from 8 to 3 next Saturday, the 14th. And so many of you have signed up to have a booth at the craft fair. Many of you all have already told Jane you can help her. But there are still a lot of areas that she needs help with. So if you have committed to help her, please stay after church. And Jane, can you wave at everybody in case you don't know who Jane is? She has put this whole thing together. And so please chat with her. Make sure you understand what she needs you to do. Likewise, if you have not been able to tell her that you want to help, but you do want to help, that's perfectly fine. She's still got plenty of things that she needs you to do. So please stay after church, chat with her, understand what she needs you to do, whether that's helping park cars, helping move stuff around, welcoming the different vendors as they come in. But we want this to be a large community event of outreach. So please make sure that you are, even if you can just come for an hour or two, she can put you to work. So like I said, the day itself, the craft fair is from 8 to 3 this upcoming Saturday. But then there's a lot of work going to be done on that Friday beforehand from about 1 to 6 p.m. The vendors will be coming in and setting up. So she'll need help then too if you can't help on Saturday. So please see Miss Jane after church, and she'll give you your assignment. All right. Mentioned last week, we're having a bridal shower for Garrett and for Carly on March 22nd at 2 p.m. in the Family Life Center. So please let Samantha know if you were going to be there, so she will make sure that we have enough food. And food is always important. It is getting close to the end of the church year, at the end of April. And so as the church board begins to plan, we are asking that you help us at the time of nominations and elections as you normally do. So we do have a nominating committee response form out in the foyer. And we request that you pick one of those up if you're a church member and fill that out. That will let us know as we plan for the upcoming church year where you are willing to serve. If you're willing to serve on the church board, and then, of course, we also pass out the volunteer forms that ask if you're not willing to serve on the church board, maybe other areas that you're willing to serve in the church. So as we plan for the year ahead, please pick one of those up and let us know how you're willing to serve as we plan. All right. Let's see. One more thing. To everyone who is supplying baked goods for the Spring Festival's bake sale this upcoming Saturday, please see Ms. Starr, Starr's waving as well, after this morning's service for your supplies, whether that's a cake board, pie pan, plastic bags, whatever that is. So she will have a table set up initially outside, but I think with the rainy weather, you'd be inside. Yeah. So find Ms. Starr, and she will get you your items if you have signed up to help with that portion of the craft fair. Okay. Perfect. I think I have gone through all my sheets of paper.
Like never before. stand and sing. We bring the sacrifice of praise. Praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Let's sing, great is thy faithfulness.
As the
sing this prayer chorus. Change my heart, O God. Make it
for all you've done for us. Thank you for bringing us into your house this morning, and thank you that you do have great faithfulness, and you are faithful to us, and you take care of us better than we can ever take care of ourselves. But dear God, we pray this morning that you change our hearts and that we do strive to be more like you. We were talking in Sunday school, and life is difficult. You were on earth, and you know life is not easy, but we're thankful that you are here with us in the good times and the bad. And through each week that passes, as we come back to church and we gather together and we talk about the things that happened, and we are reminded of your goodness and the way you take care of us. We thank you that you are the Alpha and the Omega, that you're omnipotent, you're omnipresent, and you're omniscient. And you take care of us far better than we deserve. But be with us in the service ahead. Be with us this week as we go into the world to be reminded to be light to those that we come in contact with, and to give your example in the places that we go and in the places it's difficult to be like you. It's hard dealing with people that don't always see eye to eye, and with people that don't behave the way maybe we would in a similar situation. But give us patience, give us your love, give us your goodness. To the people that we come in contact with, and help us to, in everything we do, point people back to you, whether our actions or our words or the quiet things we do that we think nobody notices. But help us to be 100% genuine to you in the actions that we take. Be with our pastoral staff as we're without them today. Be with them and help them to have had a great weekend of rejuvenation and time with other pastors and time with other leaders on the district, and help them to come back refreshed and renewed and ready to take on the challenges that are part of pastoral leadership. We especially want to think of Susan and her back and lift her up to you and for touch, and thank you for the way you've been with her, and please continue to help her in the weeks ahead as they put together a plan to get her back to 100%, and please just put your hand upon her. Please put your hand on all the other needs that have been mentioned in the bulletin, the people who are sick and hurting, whether that's a physical ailment or a spiritual ailment. But please be with the needs that we have made known to others in the congregation, and be with the needs that are just within people's hearts that maybe they haven't felt comfortable to share or too personal to share. But please be with those needs. Help us to come to you as the woman with the issue of blood, and to bring these things to you, whether we tell other people or whether we just bring those to you. But please be with those needs. Be with us this week as we go into the world, and help us to always reflect you. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's important to have gimmicks when you don't normally preach. So, you know, I was told by several in the choir that they were going to be grading me, and that, you know, they might give me a slip of paper at the end of the service to kind of let me know how I had done. So I'm going to do the best I can to live up to, you know, that high praise. As you all know, I normally am a big fan of bribery. So I have some items here that may help give a good grade, at least to the pastor when you talk to him this week. So I hope that you all will, you know, give me good marks. As you all know, if you've heard me speak before, I typically enjoy some trivia. I enjoy asking you some questions and doing some things to make you think. So perhaps if you're on your toes and you answer a question, there might be some candy involved. You're not getting my bulldog, but you might get some candy. So, but no, I'm honored to preach this morning. It's been quite a while since I've had the opportunity. We have such a good pastoral staff, and they do a fabulous job of filling in whenever the pastor's away or when something comes up. Don't often get the opportunity, but I'm very thankful to have the opportunity this morning. You can let me know or let the pastor know if you were thankful after the service, or if that guy doesn't need to speak again. So, you know, normally it's just a Sunday night thing. So Sunday mornings, you know, bigger audience, it could be dicey. So, but appreciate you being here this morning, and look forward to diving into what God has to say to us today. So I typically like to tell stories. Stories, I think, are the best way to remember a sermon or a message. And I think typically the staying power of any message, whether that's a message from the pulpit, the message in a TV show, or anything of that nature, is how well you are able to retain it after you've heard it. So I told the pastor and Jack over the past several weeks that I have enjoyed what they have been doing because, you know, there are these kind of quick snippets from the Gospels, these parables that I think make it very easy for us to understand and to pare it back the following week. So it makes us look good, but then we can also remember those things and put them into practice throughout the week. And so I enjoy those sort of things. And I think some of the greatest pastors I've ever heard do a great job of telling those stories and making things relatable to where you can remember them. So I like to tell a lot of stories, and that's what I'll do today. So often, as we find ourselves, and I mentioned this during prayer, we find that life is kind of hard. You know, like I said, we were talking about that in Sunday school this morning. Sometimes we get caught up in the busyness of what's going on, and we find that the time passes, and maybe we haven't stayed on track as well as we had hoped that we would have. And so, in part of that busyness and that difficulty of life, I want us to reflect on some of that this morning, think about some of the challenges that we face, and then kind of springboard from there. So, growing up, I didn't have a difficult childhood. I have to say that because my parents are here today. I had it pretty good. And so I was often, you know, spoiled. I was the only grandchild on my parents, on my mother's side. I was the only child, of course, of my parents. So I had pretty much anything I wanted at any given time. And my wife tells me that that's evident even today. I don't know what she means by that, but, my mother would often tell me when I was growing up that, you know, sometimes she said, you know, I think I do too much for you. I make things too easy for you. And I never thought that was true. I always thought that, you know, it was going to be better if she helped me out and did things to make my life easier. But, you know, I do find that as time goes on, a lot of times I don't want to do the difficult things. And I don't think any of us do. And so I have a real hard time staying on track and reminding myself that we have to, a lot of times, do hard things. We have to do things that we don't want to. And so I know you all probably can look at me and tell that I'm, you know, very athletic. You know, a lot of things in life have come easy for me. Sports have not been one of them. I enjoy playing sports, but it takes a lot more effort for me to be decent than it does for most people to be good. So, you know, Callie and I have been playing in a volleyball league for the YMCA for the past 6 weeks or so. And so we have had some good games and we've had some not so good games. And so the tournament was this past week. And so we went through the first round of games and we won. Depending on how much you know about volleyball, this story may make more sense to you or may make less sense to you. But and then we came to the second round of games. This was a team that we lost to multiple times during the season. And so we knew it was going to be tough. And so there was this mentality kind of flowing through our team that, well, you know, even if we lose this game, we're going to finish in third. So that's pretty good. You know, that's all right. And, you know, that just bothered me. You know, I thought, this is terrible. We haven't even, you know, taken the court and we're already talking about what we're going to end up with because, well, we're going to lose. So, you know, I thought, you know, that's rough. So, you know, we go out there, we start playing. We lose the first game. I don't remember the final score. You know, it was 25-15. I mean, it wasn't close. And so then we, you know, we begin to play the second game, and it was even worse. So, you know, Callie's, you know, kind of the leader of the team, and so we're looking at each other like, do you call a timeout? What do you do here? You know, so it's like, well, I don't know that it's going to help, but, you know, so it finally, Callie calls a timeout. I think we were down, you know, 25-10. I mean, it was ugly. Or 20-10. We hadn't let them win yet. So we're huddled up. We're starting to talk. You know, okay, what are we going to do? You know, how strategic do you need to be? Do you tell somebody who's terrible they need to do better? Do you just say, okay, do what you can, you know, what do you say? So we're talking through this, you know, and several of the team members begin to say, well, you know, I just don't know what we can do. And I lost my marbles. And I don't normally do that. You all probably think that I'm very calm, or maybe you think I'm not calm, I don't know. But I said, you know, let's go home. If we're going to just believe that the game is over before it's over, I'll get in the car. I don't care. You know, like, why are we out here trying to play and trying to win if we're not going to win? And you know what? We didn't come back and win. We got massacred. But the thought was there. And I think if we had more time, we could have got them. But, you know, that mentality of things being difficult. And, you know, we have this penchant to throw in the towel long before it's over. You know, when you're watching a football game, it's the teams that are willing to go on and on and on. They do the onside kick. They continue to believe. They continue to throw the Hail Marys rather than taking the knee and giving up. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today. It's a long story and a long intro, but I hope it meshes well with what we're going to talk about and makes you remember it, or at least you think about our woes in volleyball, if nothing else, and maybe kind of can tie that to the scripture. So I'm a bit of a slacker. I did not put the scripture on the PowerPoint. I like the New American Standard Version, and that's what I'll read from this morning. But I know everybody has their own version that they prefer. So definitely invite you to follow along in whatever you have. But we'll be in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And this is not going to be a long passage. We're just going to do the first 8 verses, kind of in that first little section. So Luke chapter 18. Okay, it's time for the first question. Can anybody tell me, this is the story of the persistent widow, can anybody tell me how this story differs in the Gospel of Luke from the other Gospels? Do what? That's a good answer, Jane. Jane said this is a story about a woman. Most stories in the Gospel are about men. Good answer, but it's not the right one. So, or, you know, as a teacher would say, it's not the answer I'm looking for. So, all right, so how is this account, specifically of this story, different than it is in the other Gospels? All right, Callie, bring Sarah a treat. Very good. It's a trick question. It's not in the other Gospels. It's only in the Gospel of Luke. Callie didn't know when she came to church today that she got to be Vanna White. So only in the Gospel of Luke, Luke tells us this story. Some Bible scholars believe that maybe initially this was an isolated incident, and then Luke kind of bunched it together with some of the other stories in Luke chapter 18 and made it specifically be about prayer. So there's definitely a lot of things we can take away from this very brief passage. So, I want to talk about some of those things, but it's definitely a passage that I think we can kind of ruminate on all week and take away a lot of other things as we think about it and apply it to our own lives. But at least in the New American Standard, this section is entitled Parables on Prayer. Now, he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, "In a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, 'Give me legal protection from my opponent.' For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, 'Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will God not bring about justice for his elect who cry out to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" So a lot, as I said, to unpack there. Several things I want to point out that there's kind of two parts to this story, I feel like. So we see in the beginning that, Luke kind of prefaces this and says it's a parable about prayer. And I think that's often where our minds go when we hear this story, we read this parable, and we think about, how important prayer is, how important it is for us to keep coming back and asking for the things that are important for us. But more specifically, the judge is talking about justice. And justice that she needs from her opponent. Now, the pastor often accuses us of reading Scripture without having any imagination. And so I think sometimes he's correct. So I like to read between the lines of this story a little bit because we don't have a lot of detail about who this widow was, what her circumstances were, or anything of that nature. But, obviously it's not easy to make it in today's economy if you're a widow. And we do have, some safety nets with Medicare and Social Security and things like that to try to help out. Perhaps if somebody has, your husband has passed away and they were the main breadwinner. And so it's not easy to make it as a widow. But it was especially not easy to make it as a widow in these times. And we are given no indication that this widow was well off, that perhaps her husband was somebody wealthy. And the reason I say that is typically if you need something, who would you send to the judge? A man. Attorney. Very good. So, you would have a lawyer act on your behalf. So the fact that she is specifically having to ask for justice for herself means that she probably didn't have a lot of means. And so she is having to go out, advocate for herself in whatever this dispute may be, and to, seek justice for herself. And so I want to think about that too for a moment, that, we have to be very, very persistent with God, and He wants that. He wants to hear from us about what we need. I think we often don't pray as detailed as we should, or we don't pray as often as we should because we think, He's God, He knows that. But it's important for us to remind Him of the things we need. And so some interpretations of the Scripture say that, the judge is some sort of a representative of God, not because God is unjust as the judge was, but because we're supposed to seek Him for justice. And I think that's certainly one interpretation that bears thought. But we're specifically told that this judge was not, he was not a church-going man, he was not a believer, he was not a good person. And so I think it's an interesting comparison that we see. It's not just that we have to be persistent and keep going, although that is certainly a big part of it. We also have to remember that we have to seek that justice for ourselves. We have to advocate. We have to make sure that we're advocating for our needs, but we're also advocating for the people around about us. And so this widow, we don't know if she was advocating for, we assume she was advocating for herself, but it could have been a bigger situation. Perhaps it was something with neighbors and different things like that. But she had to go and make sure that her needs were met because nobody else was going to do that for her. And so I want us to think about how we advocate for the things that are going on in our lives. I think it's easy for me to say,
here are the different things that you could perhaps, you know, bring to God, bring to the judge in this situation and say, well, this is an area that maybe you need to be persistent about. But I don't know what that is. And I think sometimes by making a list, I could give you options and then you could think, well, I don't, that's not my problem, so I don't have to worry about that. So I want you to think about what's an area of your life that is something you need to be persistent about. And perhaps it's an area where you need justice. Sometimes maybe we think we need justice when that's not necessarily what we need. I think there are a lot of times in my life where I thought I was wronged and thought that somebody owed me an apology or owed me something, you know, that I was not going to receive when, you know, I didn't really need justice. I needed to be offering forgiveness. And of course, that's a whole other, you know, situation, a whole other conversation that Jack already covered very well several weeks ago. But, you know, as we advocate, you know, what is an area of our lives? I think when I read this passage, I normally think of lost souls, people that maybe we have given up on, that we advocated for and we prayed for and we thought that maybe there was going to be a change in their life, and the change didn't happen in the way that we thought it was going to or that we thought it should. You know, and I think to me that's the most important area to think about, but there are certain other areas that we give up that perhaps we don't pray about the way we should. We don't advocate the way we should. We don't say, hey, you know, this is important. This is something I need help with, God. This is an area that needs your attention. So many different ways that this scripture can be interpreted. But I also want to focus on the end and the kind of the comparison that's made as Jesus tells this parable. And it's in a way that Jesus always does so well throughout his parables, but kind of the comparison that he sets up. So you have this unrighteous judge, this judge who would not, you know, give this woman anything other than the fact that she's persistent and he's tired of fooling with her. So, okay, I'll take care of you. But then the comparison is set up to say, you know, I will take care of you because you are, in the New American Standard, you are the elect. And so being reminded of what Steve led us in earlier about the great faithfulness of God, the way that he takes care of us, the way that he provides for us, the way that he wants to be there for us, the way he wants to give us these things, and the way that he wants to take care of us. Now, the pastor likes to tell stories about, you know, people that he has ministered to over the years and helped out and talked to and counseled. And I love to think of the story that he's talked about with the person in the church who came to him and said, you know, God's just not been answering my prayers. And the pastor said, well, you know, can you share what's going on? And he said, well, yeah, I've been praying for a new speedboat and it just hasn't shown up in the driveway. So this is not that kind of a message. It's not that kind to say, well, you know, if you pray over the speedboat, it will come. But, you know, what are the things in our lives that we really need to be focusing on? I think we do a great job in this church of being welcoming to new people and to doing things to try to bring people in and make them feel at home here. You know, we pass out the highway bags to people that we see on the roadways that maybe are homeless or don't have any prospects. We do these different things to reach out to people that we maybe wouldn't have contact with otherwise. And that's very important. But I want to circle back to what the pastor said last week and think about who do we need to be persistent with that maybe we have a relationship with already. I think sometimes it's easier to focus on those people that, you know, have to, we don't know, we don't have any investment in, so we can hand them a highway bag or we can say, hey, God loves you, here's a 20. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think sometimes we focus more on the people who are outside our sphere than rather than the people that we have a relationship with. And so we've been going through in Sunday school and talking about, you know, making people feel welcome. How do you reach out to people? How do you, you know, make them feel that they want to be a part of what you have? And such a big part of that is building a relationship with them. And so we've spent a lot of time talking about the cost of building that relationship, the cost in time, the cost of getting out of your comfort zone, going out of the way to do those things. But who in your life has been placed there that you have a relationship with that you could be more persistent with? And being persistent doesn't always mean beating them over the head with a Bible, but being persistent with them in a way that you are open to what the Holy Spirit has you doing so that you can advocate for that relationship, so that you can figure out the best way to approach them. And maybe it's a conversation you've had a million times before, but how do you represent that? How do you be a persistent widow to keep saying, this is important? this is something that you need to know, and this is something that I'm bringing to your attention again because you didn't accept it the last time. And we're going to talk about it again because we have that relationship and I can do that with you. So, a lot of different things here again that we need to focus on in this scripture. And like I said, you know in your own life what those things are, who those people are, who the people are that, you know, there are people in my life that I've spent a lot of time praying for and thinking that, you know, eventually something is going to change and they're going to, you know, be better and be different and they're going to come to the Lord and things are going to be good. And, you know, that hasn't happened. And so we are very results-driven people. I don't know. I think sometimes that's being an American. We want things now. You know, we want our instant coffee, our instant popcorn, our instant everything. And we struggle to wait for the results to come. And then sometimes when the results don't come, we don't follow up the way we should and we don't persist and keep chasing after those things. And so I want to encourage you this morning to think about what those things are, to think about what we need to chase, you know, what you need to chase, the people you need to chase, who you have those relationships with that maybe they've gone by the wayside and they're not, you know, you're not as close to them as you once were. There's somebody I've had on my mind for several months that I need to call that I've not spoken to in quite some time. And so you think, well, I need to reach out. I need to bridge that gap. I need to, you know, have a relationship with this person. And you know, try to be that good influence and be that conversation. And a lot of times it's hard to reinitiate those conversations after time has passed, whether that's with a friend or a family member or whoever it may be. But the right opening will happen. And so I wanted to ask, it's time for another question. Does anybody remember exactly what the pastor challenged us to do at the end of last week's sermon? Very good. Who said that? All right, Callie. Thank you very much. He challenged us, and I took a picture of his slide because I wanted to make sure I got it exact because I thought it was very, very good. So he said, go make friends with someone who is not a Christian and then pray and work for a change in their life. And he was very intentional to remind us that we don't, you know, it was work and pray, that it was not necessarily that we pray about the best opportunity, or we pray about, well, I'm going to pray about the best way to approach them. And sometimes that's important. It's important to be thoughtful, especially if it's a difficult relationship or it's somebody that maybe you've not talked to in a while. But a lot of times we focus and we hang up on, well, I'm going to pray for them and I'm going to pray for the right opportunity, and we don't take the action. And that's something we've talked a lot about in Sunday school as well, that it's important to take the action, to take the step to make a difference in somebody's life. And the other pieces will come together after the fact. But we have to be willing to step forward and to do what the pastor challenged us to do last week. So think about, you know, did you do that this week? Did you have an opportunity to do that this week that maybe it didn't come together for whatever reason? Is there an opportunity for this next week that you can see that same person or you can see somebody else that maybe the Lord's laid on your heart that you can be persistent with? But... All right, no, time for another question. Got all my questions bunched right now. How many, and this is personal, so you don't have to answer, but if you don't answer, you won't get candy. How many of you all were alive in 1940? All right, Callie. Thank you all for being willing to, you know, raise your hand and say. Now, for anybody that's doing the math now, how old could they be today? They're all in their early 30s. So, in 1940, there was an article published in, I don't remember, some magazine. And so, somebody made the statement that it's hard to beat someone who never gives up. Does anybody know who said that? It's hard to beat someone who never gives up. Oh, good. Okay, I've stumped the panel. So, do what? Nope. George Patton's a good guess. But Yogi Berra? No, another good guess.
Eleanor Roosevelt,
another good guess. No. All right, y'all throwing out some good guesses.
Chief Bonham.
Who?
Chief Bonham.
No. Okay, it was Babe Ruth. So, but Babe Ruth said, and I, you know, I love that quote, and I think about it often. And sometimes it makes me feel good, but often it makes me feel pretty bad, because we do find ourselves giving up a little bit too easily. And so, back to the volleyball. You know, I had a hard time with this. This team that we played, that was part of why we couldn't beat them. They wouldn't let the ball hit the floor. It didn't matter where we hit it. It didn't matter what we did. We could not score on them. I mean, that was evident by the scores I gave you. But, you know, it wasn't that we weren't hitting the ball back. It wasn't that we were doing anything terribly wrong. We had mistakes, but we could not get the ball to land on the floor and get points on them. And so, you know, thinking about that, you know, they beat us easily. And they moved on, and they went to the next round, and, you know, we finished in third, and, you know, whatever. So, they continued to keep the ball off the floor, continued to hit it back. And we had some long volleys back and forth where you think, man, you know, this is cool that we're hitting it back and forth this long. But then eventually, they'd keep hitting it back, and we wouldn't. So, you know, I want you to think about that. You know, who is somebody that, you know, you need to take that next attempt on, that you need to circle back to? What's that thing in your life that you need to say, I need justice for this. I need help with this. The pastor always says, you know, in our congregation, a lot of times I know or he knows what's going on and what you're going through. And, you know, we know about some of the health issues, or we know about this thing, or we know about that thing. But a lot of times, you know, we don't know what you're going through. We don't know. The things that we really are facing and the things that we really have to make sure that we are advocating for are often the things we don't share with anybody else. Or maybe you share it with a spouse, but you're not going to bring that in here and say, you know, Marcy, this is what I'm dealing with this week. And Marcy would support me and she would pray with me. But a lot of times we don't feel comfortable doing that. So we have to be willing to bring that to God. And He knows what those things are, but He likes for us to bring those to Him and to say, this is what I need, this is what I'm looking for, this is what I need help with. All right, we've got time. We've got two boxes of candy, so one more question. In case you can't tell, I like the trivia and I like the quotes. So I also love history. So you all saw the people who raised their hand and said that they were alive in 1940. I mean, wow, I can't even imagine that, to see the things that you all have seen, to have been in your early 30s. Gail told me I had to tone it down. But so what was another event that started happening that was major in the world in 1939 and 1940? World War II. Who said that? All right, Sharon, please. All right, so World War II was starting. The Germans had invaded. The Germans had said, we need this territory. We need this. We need that. And in the beginning, the world leaders said, okay, we'll let you have that. We'll let you have Austria. We'll let you have Czechoslovakia. We'll let you have these territorial things that you're looking for. And then Hitler said he wanted Poland. And England and France drew the line in the sand and said, okay, we're going to war. You can't do that. And so Hitler still ended up with Poland, but the world was in a state of war. And time went on, and Hitler invaded Denmark and Norway. And time went on, and then Hitler invaded the Netherlands and Brussels and France. And so all this was, you know, began in 1938, 1939, 1940 was when the Germans invaded France. And so the French and British armies were well positioned. They thought they had a good plan, and the German army sliced through. Cut through all their best units, encircled them. There was a movie that came out several years ago called Dunkirk about the evacuation of those troops and trying to get those surrounded troops back to England so that they wouldn't be annihilated. And so it's a lot of fascinating pieces of history. And so this was a situation that was very, very grave for the Allies at that time, France and England. They lost, you know, most of their best men, all their tanks, all their artillery, a lot of aircraft, all their best equipment. So even for the men they were able to get out, and I wrote this down because it's rather impressive. They believed at Dunkirk they were going to be able to evacuate about 45,000 men, but they ended up being able to get out 338,000. So it's this massive evacuation. They do so much better than they think, but they've lost a lot of equipment. So the expectation was that the Germans were going to invade England at any time. There was no real belief that they were going to be able to hold them off because of all the losses they had incurred in France. And so that's kind of the background in the story. For another quote I want to leave you with as we close today. I've given you the challenge early. I didn't save it till the end like the pastor does, but saving another quote for the end. But this is what I want you to think of this week. And there's one box of candy left for whoever tells me who said this first. We will go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. And we shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills, but we shall never surrender.
Churchill.
Man, I did good on Babe Ruth, but not on Churchill. So, Callie, you okay. Well, at the door, we'll give everybody one Reese's piece. So, no, y'all did well. But in the Church of the Nazarene, we talk a lot about surrender. You know, I surrender all. So I want to leave you with an opposite thought today, that we do not surrender the people in our lives, the things in our lives that we need to advocate for. We surrender ourselves to God. That's entire sanctification. And we give Him our lives and we say, here, I want you to have everything. And I want you to lead me. But we cannot surrender the people in our lives. We cannot surrender the things that we need to be chasing, and we need to be like the widow and say, this is important, and I need you to take care of this for me. And coming back every day, every moment, every time that person, every time that need is brought to your mind and saying, I will not give up on this. Whatever I have to do, whatever I have to advocate, however I have to ask, I won't pass by on this opportunity. So, think about this week. Who have you given up on? What have you given up on that needs to be revisited, and pick that up and carry it and don't put it back down? So that's your charge, and just be like the widow. She didn't have any money. She didn't have anything that she could do other than to ask, but that was enough. So, all right, let's stand together and I'll close this in prayer. If you didn't get candy, I think we're going to do a mission service in April, so I'll try to make it up to you. But thank you all for your participation. It's fun to engage with you and ask those questions and to hear your responses. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for bringing us together today. And thank you for the words you've given us about what you ask us to do, and that you ask us to be like the widow and to bring our requests to you and to continue to ask and continue to advocate and continue to intervene on the behalf of the people in our lives that we need to influence for you, on behalf of the things in our lives that that need your touch, that we need help with, that we cannot do on our own. And thank you that you promise that you will take care of those things. If we come to you and we bring them and you deem that they need to be taken care of, you promise that you will take care of them. But you also remind us that we have to be faithful. And we're reminded of the great faithfulness you have, but we're reminded at the end of this passage we have to be faithful in return. Please call us to be faithful this week and in the weeks ahead in the way that you would have us to be, to reach out to the people we need to reach out to pray for the things that we need help with, and that you will be faithful and that you will take care of us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your death on the cross. And thank you for always loving us and being there for us and supporting us. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for being here. Have a good week. Don't forget, choir practice, 4:45 tonight, small group, 6 p.m. Miss Jane, please wave at everybody. Come see Miss Jane if you can help with the craft fair on Friday or Saturday.